Brother Joseph, one question I have, and I know many Christians have, is concerning the Muslims. Like, there are so many problems coming from the Muslim world, such as we know the Muslims are invading more and more the Christian countries, and they try to change the laws and to come in the government and to put their own mindset and rules in the government. And they're very strong and they're radical. They are ready to blow themselves up for what they believe. So I would like to ask you, what are we Christians supposed to do concerning these Muslims? What's the solution?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it is a big problem, but the West is now undergoing a peaceful Islamic invasion with excuse of humanitarian reason, and they have they come here looking for jobs in the West. We are here now operating in Eastern Europe, which is fast becoming like the West. In fact, we are thinking about moving farther up in the interior of the world's missions. And what's happening is that they come into the West and they demand a mosque. They stop the traffic, like in the center of Paris.
Yes, they make manifestations.
Yeah, the main media, they don't even talk about it, but there are thousands of Muslims blocking the center of Paris, get on their knees and pray. The media doesn't talk about it because, you see, they forbid Christianity and now they allow the Muslim. You see, the devil is coward.
I even know in America, three missionaries were giving literature on the streets, and the Muslims complained to the police, so the police arrested the three missionaries because the Muslims were not in peace about it.
See, the Muslims go to America, go to Europe, to the West, and now they are telling the Christians what to do because they are fighting in a jihad. That's like the crusade in the Muslim language. And so now they think that, you see, they see the West corrupted, decadent, people getting drunk, pornography, like girls walking around like prostitutes, like, you know, they have this, they dress up, young people, satanic shirts, deprivations, sexual perversions. Like now you see, like in TV, you see things that you, in my days when I was young, you had to go to a striptease whorehouse to see what you see today, to sell a Coca-Cola on TV. They put they put a prostitute doing a striptease or something, or they put a couple of lesbians kissing.
Yes.
I mean, it's pitiful. So the Muslims see this.
Yeah.
Okay, and they see, but they rightly, correctly saw this, but this is not going anywhere. Yeah, this guy needs the Islam.
Okay, that is right, but still, how do we fight this Muslim influence coming in?
We see what I want to say is that the Islam is not conquering the West, because Islam is conquering the West. The West statistic that in 2050, they expected that 50% of the European population will be Muslim, because while the Europeans are so crazy and anti-Christ, they abort almost every child. The ones that don't abort, they take pills so they don't even get pregnant. The Muslim, they have an average of 6, 8, 10 children, every family. Mm. So they calculate... Already they have like in America, they have 6 million Jews and 6 million Muslims in America, in the States. In Europe, like they have 600 mosques, close to 1,000 mosques, in fact, in London, and they have about some...
Only in London.
Only in London. And in France, they have some 300-400 mosques, in Paris, pardon. See, they're taking over, understand? They already took over. There is nothing the West can do. They have to reckon with the Islamic situation. Now, Turkey wants to resurrect the Ottoman Empire. You know, the Ottoman Empire?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ottoman comes from Latin, Otto, which is eight nations put together. If you see the Muslim symbol, is like two square, one on top of the other, with eight angles. Ottoman, each angle representing an Arab country. That was the Ottoman Empire, which it was disbanded in, I think it was 1917. Anyway, it was after World War One, and so, and then it just fell apart. And then England took over, Britain took over Palestine, and then, you know, the rest is history, gave it to the Jews. So your question is, what can we do for this problem? Well, I'm giving you a little background what's going on. What I'm saying, Islam is not conquering the West, okay? Because no. now it's irreversible. It doesn't matter what the West does, they are here.
Yes.
They have voting power, they have mosque, and from the mosque, they are preaching. From the mosque in the West, they are preaching the destruction of the West. And the West is so stupid, to say the least, antichrist, to say the most, they don't know what to do. Because they turn around and say, oh, we are democratic, we don't do anything like that. So they so through this silly democracy, so-called, they allow this dictatorial, they tolerate this untolerating regimes, which when they take over, they're not going to give democracy to the silly mm-hmm. West. Isn't that what's going on?
In fact, the Christians that go to the Muslim countries are not treated so democratic.
in the West, they build a mosque to yeah. kind of appease them, make them happy. In the Muslim country, they don't allow new church. They're destroying the existing ones.
Yeah, they persecute them.
Yeah, they threw grenades inside the churches and kill half of the congregation, like it happened in Pakistan a few years ago. They park a car outside the Copt Christian church in Egypt and kill half of the congregations. So the West, the West has no defense. You see, in Arabia, okay, it's forbidden, all right, to preach Christianity. If you convert a Muslim, there is death penalty in Arabia. All right, in the West, they are converting into the sleepy Westerners 100%.
What do you mean? They are converting Christians to Muslim?
Well, not very much, actually. But they are converting the society because it's like it's no comparison Islam with the Christianity, true Christianity. Of mm-hmm. course, Islam is better than Christianity. And Christianity loses against Islam.
What do you mean Islam is better than Christianity? I mean, in what sense?
Well, I'm saying true Christianity, of course, it doesn't stand comparison with any religion because of the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus. But modern Christianity is much inferior than Islam.
You mean the false Christianity?
Exactly.
Because you say true Christianity is better.
Yeah.
So you mean false Christianity is worse?
Yeah, the modern, I call it Laodicea Christianity.
Yes, I understand.
Which is 99% of the Christianity you see around is a bad photocopy of Jesus and the Holy Church and true Christianity. So this...
I'm not sure the Muslims are better than the false Christians, because even the false Christians believe in a Messiah, in the Son of God.
Well, no, the Muslims are better than the false Christians, because the false Christians, they had a chance, like they tasted the Holy Spirit, they tasted the power to come, they tasted Jesus, they rejected. So the Muslims are less guilty, because the Muslims haven't had a chance to be evangelized like these false Christians of the West, you mm-hmm. know. It's like today, 99% of the churches in the West, they're like Laodiceans. And the thing is that in these churches, there are some sincere Christians, there are some true Christians, there are some safe Christians, all right, but they're kind of in prison in the religious system that the leadership doesn't let them do anything. And so there are the false Christians of blocking everything in these churches. Okay, so the devil moved in into the churches, and through the Laodicea spirit is blocking also the sincere Christian trapped in the Laodicea system.
Still, don't you consider it's easier to convert somebody who's a false Christian than to convert a Muslim?
Well, but the thing is that they don't want to be converted, because you see, the devil deceived this Laodicea Christian into fighting against each other. Baptist against Catholic, Catholic against Orthodox, Orthodox against Pentecostals. So they're all hate each other. So as long as the devil can keep the Christian busy in hating each other, it's like the Christians are doing the devil's dirty work of preaching Christianity. Understand? So each one has a special doctrinal horse which they ride, and they want to ride until Judgment Day. So anyway, what I want to say is that Islam is not conquering the West because it's so much better than Christianity, true Christianity, not at all. But Islam is not conquering the West. It's false Christianity that is handing the West on a silver platter. It's false Christianity that is not evangelizing. It's false Christianity that they don't love Jesus with a full heart. It's false Christianity that they serve the Lord with half a heart. It's false Christianity that they don't love the Lord with all their heart, all their mind, all their souls. So it's not like Islam is so superior. In fact, in the world, it's like for every Christian that becomes Muslim, there are 100 Muslims that become Christian. In fact, in the persecuted country, China, Africa, etc., the church is exploding.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is an average of, every year, I saw a film, every year there are 6 million, I think 6 million Muslims that convert to Christianity, and the Muslims are really freaked out. That's why they're putting bombs in the churches, understand? In fact, when they put the bomb and killed half of the congregations in the church in Cairo, it was because they converted a Muslim girl.
Mm-hmm.
So they do out of jealousy. So the Christians are advancing in the country where Christians are persecuted. They are retreating in the country like the West, where false Christianity is worshiping idols. It worship the idols of materialism. I mean, worshiping money, they're worshiping jobs, they're worshiping careers, they're worshiping Sunday morning so-called Christian ritualism, they're worshiping traditionalism instead of worshiping Jesus in spirit and truth.
Okay, you said, and I do agree, you said that the Muslims are peacefully invading the Christians and the Christians are peacefully receiving them, letting them do freely what they want. What do you expect the Christians to do? Actually fight, or how can they stop them?
Yeah, it's like we have like NATO and America, and they're bombing and killing in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now they started giving in Libya because they want the oil, of course. And so there are most of the American Christians are deceived. They're supporting their troops, defending America. Oh, but actually American troops are not defending America. They're defending the multinationals. They're defending the banks. They're defending the Rockefellers, those guys. So the thing is that America is a false Christian country. So The wars that they are fighting, they're just fighting because of monetary reason. And the Christians are expecting the American army to go kill the bad Muslim so that the problems are solved. It's not going to be like that. It's like the way to overcome, to win the world is not to bomb the world, is not to bomb their enemies, is not to send the American mercenaries, because American army is a mercenary army. They get high salaries, okay? They are not a volunteer army. And the American army, they are in the army because of the salary. And that's why America is losing. They lost in Vietnam, they lost in Iraq, they're losing in Afghanistan. I mean, every war America fought, they lost every war because it's a mercenary, it's an invasion, imperialistic thing. But the Muslim, they go blow themselves up, you know, they cook. You know, you cannot overcome an enemy who's willing to die for their ideology, right or wrong, if you just you are in an air conditioning tank and an air conditioning aircraft, drinking Coca-Cola, listening to satanic music, and et cetera, et cetera. And all you're thinking about is like just to save your life and get your salary. I mean, you're going to lose the war. That's what happened when Medo-Persia, the mastodontic, gigantic world empire, fought against Alexander the Great, with the Alexander and Greece, they were outnumbered 10 to 1, and they won because they were willing to die. But the Medo-Persian, if you read the history, they wanted to make peace constantly with Alexander because they wanted to keep what they had. They wanted, in fact, I read a history book, it's like Darius, the king of the Medo-Persian, or Persia, because Media wasn't around anymore. Is like he offered a bunch of gold to Alexander. Alexander laughed to his face and said, come and get it. They didn't need to offer it to me. So the Persian, they lost because they were just wanted to keep the money and the power. That's why the Roman Empire collapsed. They started employing mercenaries. You never win a war with mercenaries. You win the war when your soldiers are willing to die. America won against Italy because the soldiers were not mercenaries. They were just American, just like any soldier. They were to defend the country. But as soon as America took the place of Germany and took the place of the Nazi, they became mercenaries. So now, some people call America the new Nazi. I don't disagree very much. So what are the Christians supposed to do? The Christians are supposed to go to this country, to this Muslim, instead of sending American mercenaries and bomb them. You know, like Hitler had his Auschwitz and America has his Guantanamo Auschwitz. You know, it's like it's a different devil. From Nazi flag, they moved American flags. Like the Christian wants to win the Muslim, don't send American mercenary and bomb them. Send missionaries, send hospitals, send the doctors, send food.
You mean send to their countries?
Yeah, that's the example is that to Jesus and the early church. Like you go love your enemies. You don't send the soldiers and bomb them. That's ridiculous, stupid. Jesus didn't send the armies to kill the Romans. He sent the Christians to die in Rome, to die as martyrs. You go to, like Christians should stop sending, should stop only praying for the poor Christian persecuted and killed by the Muslim. Send money and food to the poor Christians in India. Okay, you can do that. But you should go to your enemies and give food to your enemies. You should go to your enemies and love your enemies. You should go to the Muslim in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Egypt, in every place where the Christian persecuted. And instead of before giving food and supply to the Christians, also that. But first, give it to your enemies. Give it to the Muslims. Go to the jihad and say, you go to those guys that sharpen their sword to cut your throat and say, before you cut my throat, can I give you some food? Can I give you some medicine? Okay, well, look, we brought some teachers to teach your children at school, not to teach you religion. You see, instead of preaching Christianity, we should preach the love of Christ. It's a completely different concept.
That's quite amazing. Like, and it never crossed my mind that the way to reach them is to actually go and you give the example of the early church, how Jesus sent his disciples in the Roman countries to actually die in front of the Romans and show their faith and give their lives. This really speaks to me.
See,
go to the Muslim countries and be ready to die. It's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful idea.
Yes, it's like Jesus and early Christianity didn't win the world and overcame the Roman Empire because they killed the Christians. Not at all. They won the war, they won the Romans because through the power of love, which is more powerful than all the atomic bombs put together. What won the Romans, it was a couple of words of Jesus. As the nails were coming in, he said, the Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's what won the Romans. Amen. The Romans who were putting those nails and hearing, forgive me, doesn't know what he's doing. The guy probably meditated about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are histories of Romans who were watching the Christian being killed by, massacred by lions, crucified in the Romans games that went on all night long in the dark, and they didn't have an electrical system. The lighting system was furnished by the burning bodies of the Christian hanging on the cross. They used to put tars on the body and burn them. Mm-hmm. You know, today there are Buddhists who burn themselves up to protest against the communists in the Chinese, in Tibet, etc. But those used to be Christians, used to not burn themselves, but allow themselves to be killed, tortured, thrown to the lions, understand? Because they remember the words of Jesus, said, fear not them who kill the body, but after that there is nothing else they can do. But I tell you whom you should fear. Yea, fear him who after he kills the body can throw the soul in hell. Yay, fear him. So those Christians who were dying, they knew very well the words of Jesus. They said, he that endures until the end shall be saved. What does that mean? You're saved by works? No. Ephesians 2:8-9, Titus 3:5 stands. He was saved by grace, not by works. But if you don't endure until the end, you're probably not saved. Probably you were saved you were born again in your brain. You were a mental salvation. You were not born again in your spirit, in your heart, in your soul, just in your mind, just like a Pharisee, just like a Sadducee, just like those evangelicals in Germany supporting Hitler, those evangelicals in America supporting Vietnam, supporting the war in Iraq, supporting the war in Afghanistan, supporting the killing of Muslims. That's false Christianity, you know. False Christianity, or maybe just deceive Christians at best. Deceive Christians at best, false Christianity at worst. So it's like we need to follow the example of Stephen while they were stoning him, say, Father, don't put these sins on their account. Don't impute these sins unto them.
Amen. And Saul was there, and he was afterwards tormented by this testimony.
Saul was tormented by the love of this guy. Yes. That while the stones were flying and and crushing his skull and breaking his head and destroying his limbs. His prayer wasn't, oh, the army will come and vengeance on you. It was, Father, forgive them. Don't put these sins on their account. You see, this forgiveness gives you power to die for Jesus. You understand? Like today we need is just a simple, basic kindergarten Christianity. Simple, Romans 12:21, it says, being overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. So the way to overcome the Islamic persecution and any persecution, you know, what kind of war did the Christian fight against the communists? Nothing. They just died in the gulags. They died under Stalin. They died in the name of Jesus. Richard Wurmbrand, he was 14 years tortured in the 14 years in prison by the communists, and he went to the commander of his prison one day. He had a chat with him and said, you know, we Christians are superior than you. And the guy was laughed to his face. You stupid idiot! Look at that. You look like a skeleton. And the guy, fat stomach, he said, look, I'm superior. Look, and he said, we're superior because you torture and imprison and kill us because you're afraid of us, of Christianity. We are superior because we love you. It's our superiority that we love our torturers. We love our enemies. So Christianity today is following the way of the Pharisaism of the Bible. I'm talking about not all Christianity, 99% of it. In this 99%, there are percentage who are deceived. But it's like the true Christianity is love. It's we shouldn't preach Christianity. That's another mistake. We should preach Christ. I'm not a Christian. I am in Christ, because Christ is not an idol, a church, a church bench, a church sermon, a church ritualism. Christ is a person. Christ is in my heart. I am Christ, his body. So we are not Christians. We are in Christ, because Christian, what's Christian? Crusades, evangelical in Germany supporting Hitler, the evangelical American supporting the American mercenaries, killing the Muslims. That's not Christianity. That's a deceived Christianity at best, false Christianity at worst, Laodicea.
It's amazing. You present death as a victory. Like, and this is just Bible. It's like what the early Christians did, what the apostles did. They died showing their faith, and that led to the conversion of multitudes, of whole nations. And this is it. This is the solution with the Muslims. But now the question rises in me, who will go? Who will love another life unto death and do this?
Well, listen, I read you a scripture here in Revelation. Revelation, I'll just quote it by memory before it's quicker. I think it's Revelation 3:9, I believe is in the message to Philadelphia. Jesus says, I will call them who are Jews, but they are not, but they are a synagogue of Satan. I will cause them to come and worship at your feet. He's talking about who are the Jews, God's people, or the Christian, God's people. So God is going to cause the false, those who are false, his false people, or those who are disobedient people, to come and get on their knees and worship the Church of Philadelphia. Imagine, worship like if that was God, because we are God in the sense that we are the body of Christ. So it's like, it's very scary what's happening today to this false Laodicea so-called Christian system. They don't care at all. They don't care at all about having fear of God. They don't care about the eternal rewards. They don't care about being in front of the judgment day one day, and Christ is ashamed of them. I mean, I'm scared to death to disobey God. I'm scared. I am terrorized that one day God is going to give the message of Revelation chapter 3:14. It says, because you look what I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I am scared to death. Do you understand? I know some people think this is a strong preaching, but these are the words of Jesus. Anything else?
Well, I'm still wondering, people don't want to give their lives and go and be missionaries in Muslim countries and be ready to die because they see death as a defeat. But I repeat, you present it as a victory, and I see it differently. I never saw also that being a victory. But who do you think will actually take the step and go over there and do this mission?
Well, there are prophecies. There are prophecies. Laodicea is not going to go. We can see that in Daniel 11:31, 33 and 35. Talks about the tribulation starts and the large parts of Christianity will be destroyed. We can see this in Daniel 7, that the horn, the Antichrist, makes war with the saints and overcomes them. We can see that in Revelation 12:17.
So you're saying there is no
war. He makes war with the church and destroys, attacks. And then in Revelation 13:7, we see that the attack against the church brings destruction to the church.
You're saying that there is no hope.
It's prophesied that Laodicea is not going to listen. It was prophesied that Jesus was not going to be presented, he was going to be crucified. It was prophesied that Jesus was going to be crucified.
So then we do nothing, and that's it.
Wait a second. There is nothing. We cannot go against the prophecies. It's prophesied that Laodicea, 99% of Christianity will be overcome, destroyed. Most of it, 99, 89, I believe. I mean, I've been preaching in hundreds of churches, and I mean, 99% of the churches are either dead or asleep. There are many sincere Christians trapped in the system. Well, I say to them, get out of it. Follow Jesus. So what do we need to do? Well, first of all, you need to figure out, are you virgin? What's virginity? Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Next question, are you a virgin with oil or without? A virgin obedient or disobedient? Read Matthew 25, see if you fit. Do you fit in the virgin with oil, obedience, following Jesus, loving Jesus, obeying Jesus, before your family, your husband, your wife, your children, your job, your money, before this devil's world?
Amen.
Or do you love your job first? Or do you love the job? You can have a job. It's better without. I don't have my job is just preach the gospel. How do I survive? I have 6 children. Well, I pass the hat. Only comes back empty sometimes. Well, Matthew 10:8 says, freely receive, freely give. How do I survive? Miracles.
Amen.
Miracles. So any Christian can do. But anyway, go get your job, but make sure you put Jesus before your job.
Amen.
You don't give Jesus 10%. Keep 10%. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking. Look, I'm going to ask anybody listening at donations. Okay, I would like to ask a donation. Look, for God's work, all right? When I ask $168 a week, I would like to ask you. What I'm talking about, euro, dollars? Just a second. Don't faint. See, money is the last needs that Jesus has. It says Matthew 10:8. Freely receive, freely give. I can prove it to you. Jesus put Judas in charge of the money. So it's not that God, money is really secondary. So I think what God asks, I want to ask you, I think it's from the Lord. Anyone listening here who's not allowed this year, okay, give Jesus 168 a week divided 24 a day. What am I talking about? Heavenly money. What is that? Come on, think.
Time?
You're close. Try some more.
I don't know. Time invested in preaching the gospel, in loving Jesus.
Okay.
Time spent
with the
Lord.
If you multiply 24 by 7, you get 168. What am I talking about?
Hours.
Hours. Good. Good guess. I'm asking anybody listening, would you like to offer Jesus 168 hours a week, 24 hours a day? Forget your vacation. We have no time for vacation. The Bible says there is no time for vacation in war. Souls are going to hell. I take vacations every day when I pray to Jesus. When I'm tired, I just go to bed. I haven't had a vacation for years. What's time? Souls are going to hell. If I'm tired, I rest. If I'm still tired, I rest some more. And then I get up and go to work. Preach the gospel.
I have a last question, Brother Joseph. Because you bring lots of light, at least for me, to understand how to deal with the Muslims. To be ready to die for my faith and to prove them Jesus is love and He's the Savior. Now, a practical question I want to ask you, but practical. We have some very, very close friends in Vienna we've been visiting lately. And this family lives in an apartment and they are neighboring with a Muslim family with lots of children. And they said this Muslim family is very hostile and very cold. Now, what would you do if you would leave neighboring a Muslim family like this? How would you win?
Well, I can tell you what happened because the story you're telling a story when we were there together, right?
Yes, yes.
we were all guests there with our children. Well, the Muslim was ready to break the teeth of these people. They were bothered. So we just went down with flowers and cakes.
Oh, yeah, I understand. I was thinking of another family, but I understand who you're talking
about. Remember the family?
We were
knocking on the door, and the people were giving us hospitality. They didn't want to do that. They just were hitting each other. I said, let's go down. I said, but they don't deserve it. It doesn't matter. So we went down. We brought cakes, flowers, whatever, this and that, and they became friends. So what you need to do is love. Again, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with love.
So you mean to go over, bring them gifts, bring them food, and show them love?
Just show love.
I understand.
It's like show this Muslim that that before you give money to the to your friends, give it to them. Before you give food to your friends, give it to them. Send doctors, send hospitals, send humanitarian. If you cannot send, if you cannot send a doctor, if you cannot send an hospital, if you cannot send that, I understand you. You know, everybody can do that. But send some clothes. Send you know, the most. Let say, listen. We just say, look, we're not spreading religion here. For us, just tell it. For us, Jesus means love. That's it.
Brother Joseph, we are running out of time, so I would like to ask you for a closing word.
Okay, if you run out of time, you run faster. You run faster. Well, a closing word is, well, I don't have the love of Jesus. I don't have the love of Jesus normally in my flesh, but I have it in the spirit. So there's no way we can win the Muslim or any enemy. So we need to get on our knees and get filled, like in a gas station, get filled with the love of Jesus. So we can make an effort, and even when we don't feel like, love our enemies. Even we don't feel like, really show them that Jesus is not some ritualistic, dead, sandemony religion, but his deeds. Show them not a prayer, dead prayers, but tangible. Jesus didn't come here and prayed. He was praying as he was showing his love tangibly, physically, materially, through miracles, through his life, through helping people in the flesh, giving food even a couple of times.
Amen.
So if we don't show this kind of love, if you see the checklist, Matthew 25, Jesus said, I was hungry, I was naked, I was thirsty, I was in prison, I was sick, all tangible things in this time. So our religious prayer don't get out of the church windows. They're good for nothing if they don't become tangible. The Christians won Rome because they're showing their enemies tangible love.
That's, sorry, this is very good. Like, the way I feel when I evangelize somebody is that, oh, they are wrong and their beliefs are wrong and I am right. But we need to put aside all this right and wrong, and you're right. Just show them love.
The Muslims are not conquering the world. It's the Western Christians who are losing it. It's different. You understand? An army, fighting a battle, two armies opposing, an army is not winning the war if the other are running away. The one who run away are losing it. You understand? All right. So, the Muslims, they never conquered the world since 600 AD when Muhammad took over Arabia. Okay, so that's been 1,400 years. They haven't been able to conquer the world. So they're not conquering the world. They never will, but they're conquering the West. But the West is doomed to distractions, according to the prophecies, okay? See, Babylon, the prostitute, blowing up in Revelation 17 and 18, and that's the West, okay? We'll get into this another time. So, love is what we need. The example is not my church, your church, American church. Example is Jesus.
Amen.
And when the Christians follow this example, they won.
Amen.
All through history. Okay, running out of time, so that's
Amen.
It. So
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for this answer.
Better run.
Thank you so much, Brother Joseph.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.